AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. E15, Ukraine, energy prices, and grain prices. There are more developments to cover on today's free-for-all. And it's not very often the FBI sends a warning out to farmers in elevators. And the latest analysis of proposed cattle market legislation says the bill is trying to fix a problem that does not exist.
Live! Woke up to the sound of pouring rain and a little thunder via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This morning it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and yours truly handsome panelist Davis Michelson. Right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork Now. Welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Glory.
Yeah, you probably had better buckle up a little bit there too, Davis. By the end of the show, you may be experiencing some storms of some sort.
Bro, I've gone from Speedo to hoodie in just a startlingly short amount of time. And I hate to do it, but I had to.
No, the neighbors appreciate the hoodie.
I pulled some of the blinds. I don't know what the problem is.
It's some of the chatter that I pick up from the community. Welcome AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Hello, everyone. Chip, let's get right to it. Okay. We've got the free-for-all coming up today. We're talking Ukraine. We're talking this. We're talking that. All sorts of stuff. Lots of stuff to talk about. I want to talk to you about exports, though, because after Thursday's export sales report, I was a little bit underwhelmed with the numbers. Not terrible numbers, but failed to reach trade expectations. And I started to think to myself, maybe we've priced ourselves out of export demand.
Yeah.
You know, I really was thinking that yesterday. I didn't want to say it out loud.
I know where you're going.
This morning, a bevy of daily sales. Let me just list off some of these. 1.34 million metric tons of corn for delivery to China, split almost evenly between new crop and old crop. 281,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico. 144,000 metric tons of beans sold to Mexico. These are extremely impressive to me. Old crop and new crop. Very impressive numbers for daily sales, Chip.
You know, and the fact that we are seeing so much focus on the 2022-23 supplies, and they're buying it now. They see value in it. The importers are concerned. When China steps in and buys 612,000 metric tons of 22 crop corn, Mexico's in for 191,000 tons of new crop corn. Mexico's in for 96,000 tons of new crop beans. The concern is very real out there about what prices might be later.
This with Dees Corn yesterday closed at 738¾. Novi Beans at 1531¾.
Right. Oh, and by the way, grains are mostly lower.
I saw that.
As we talk, except for soybean oil, which is sharply higher because Indonesia has said, no, we're not going to export any palm oil.
Right.
Wow. We'll talk with Brian Grady about all of that at the bottom of the hour. Let's get to the rest of the news.
Chip, a half percentage point interest rate hike is officially on the table. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said Thursday as the central bank prepares to get inflation under control. He also signaled support for further aggressive tightening. The next meeting of the FOMC set for May 3rd and 4th. Chip?
Right. Wouldn't surprise me. Well, you know what? There's only about a week and a half. I was going to say it wouldn't surprise me if they just went ahead and did it even before the meeting. But we're only a week and a half away from the meeting. They'll wait for it.
Well, lawmakers proposed new legislation this month on funding for sustainable aviation fuel while continuing negotiations on a tax credit to help the transition to greener fuel. President Biden and the airline industry want Congress to offer financial incentives for sustainable aviation fuel, which could help lower airlines' soaring energy costs. This as air traffic picks up, Chip.
Okay, and we the conversation that we had with Jordan Fife from BioUrge yesterday, talking about how the Colonial Pipeline has already made made the upgrade so that it can handle SAF and deliver it straight to airports on the East Coast, man. It's coming, and it's coming quickly.
Russian forces made minor gains across a 300-mile front in eastern Ukraine, according to military analysts. Satellite images show what appears to be a growing mass grave near Mariupol. Yeah. The Biden administration preparing to send lots of money and assistance over to Ukraine. You know I don't watch much mainstream news, but I did check in on a story. I forget which network it was. Bro, Mariupol is flattened.
It's gone. It's unbelievable. It seems like the Russians have decided they don't want to take out that steel mill because they may want to use it.
Yep. Well, economists polled by Bloomberg have lowered their growth forecasts for China once again as widespread COVID-19 lockdowns threaten to hold back the economy in the months ahead. GDP will likely expand 4.9% in 2022, down from the previous estimate of 5%, according to a survey of 62 economists compiled by Bloomberg. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen calling for reshaping trade around trusted partners to improve the security of supply chains. Senator Chuck Grassley, Chip, said in a Capitol Hill report the upcoming Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act of 2022 hearing is a formality. He said there is enough support to get it out of committee. And just this one real quickly, the American Petroleum Institute, nation's biggest oil industry trade group, drafted a proposal urging Congress to adapt a carbon tax. Probably would raise gas prices and other energy costs for consumers, Chip.
Absolutely it would. All right, thank you, Davis. Yes, you I do think that would be the case. Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, this conversation around sustainability issues in animal agriculture, it seems like farmers are really embracing that whole conversation.
Well, they really are because it's what they do. It's what they've done for so long. And now everybody's interested in talking about it and hearing what they're doing. And so it's been pretty exciting to see how, particularly, you know, day to day, I'm working with pork producers and seeing how they're, you know, discussing that, but the efforts that they're making to do their on-farm sustainability reports and to be able to actually measure how they are making improvements is really very exciting.
Yeah. Oh, it certainly is. And it's a conversation that I think producers, animal producers in particular, are more willing to go out and talk about it and share that story with consumers now, aren't they?
Yeah, I really think they are. And I think they've learned that they need to because people are so interested. I don't remember where I saw the statistic at, but the other day I saw that, you know, 5 years ago, the interest that people had and where their food came from was like in the, you know, around 20%. And today that number is closer to 80%. That's a huge change. And so, you know, I think it's exciting to be able to hear pork producers put those numbers to it. For example, you know, in 1959, it took 8 pigs to produce 1,000 pounds of pork. Today, it only takes 5.
Yeah.
That's a big change.
Yeah, that's a huge change. What an increase in efficiency. Good stuff. Hey, learn more about this at www.porkbusiness.com. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, we have got a lot of ground to cover. As I'm watching the conversation in chat taking place, and the guys are already off and running. We got Wiesmeyer, we got Haney, we got Michelson coming up next in the AgriTalk free-for-all.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Clarifly Larvicide, your feed-through fly control solution.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Oh, this is a good one to get me all fired up and ready to go here. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. All right. Davis Michelson is going to be in on the conversation on the free-for-all today. Davis, you fired up, ready to go?
So fired up, so ready to go.
All right. All right, let's start with you. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about from this week that we need to include in the conversation?
Well, as we talked about in the first segment there, in the news segment, the exports really surprised me coming into the end of this week. Food security has been such an issue, and the world is starting to take notice. Something we talked about last week with, I think, a couple of different guests was the idea that, there's probably going to be enough food here in the United States, at least food around, but it's the more impoverished nations who are really going to struggle as we move forward here, especially now that we've got, you know, the Ukrainian Ag Ministry talking about landmines in the fields, going to put the crimp on the planting pace over there. So that's kind of what's at the front of my mind today.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Sean Haney. Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing fantastic. I like the trucker music on the on the inbound. That was nice. I was thinking, like, what would Chip's call sign be? Would it be like Cyclone Chip?
There may be something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my license plate say pull for size, so yeah.
Nice. I like that. Great to be here.
All right. And Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How are you, Jim?
Pretty good. The market's down on corn because this was priced about 3 weeks, two to 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. We talked about the sales, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about them on the free-for-all like 3 weeks ago.
Yes. And we had it on a page 4 item in Pro Farmer that they were going to, in the process, buying 2 million tons of corn.
Right. And the way that they get around having to report it is they don't have to report it until it officially changes, until ownership of the corn officially changes hands to a foreign entity. They're buying it through a U.S. group. So as long as the U.S. group maintains ownership of that corn, it doesn't have to be announced. But eventually it's got to transfer.
Yeah, it looks like Russia has learned some, similar lessons, Chip, because they're not reporting their oil sales until they have to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I want to go to back to what Davis was talking about, because Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen had something interesting, and the Pro Farmer had it in today's First Thing Today. Yellen said there's a very real risk soaring global market prices for food and fertilizer will result in more people going hungry, further exacerbate inflation and harmful fiscal and external positions. Jim, she's talking about world officials, whatever that is, world officials will release proposals to bolster food supplies, ensure that small farmers can afford fertilizer and improve social safety nets. This is something to watch, isn't it?
Yes, and they've had some interagency committee meetings here in the Biden administration. They are not just worried, Chip, they're very worried. And for her to go public, that's big. And the UN's FAO wants to create a fund of what, up to $25 billion to help the poor nations with the food prices and, you know, fertilizer. And so you're seeing a lot of this. But yet at the same time, as you noted, Indonesia banned palm oil exports, starting April 28th. The same thing that the world officials told countries not to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's and not for playing a lot of people nice, living, is it, Sean?
No, it's not. And for a lot of people that are living, you know, in a low-income situation along the poverty line or below it, this affordability of food is a real thing.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I think for some of us that, you know, probably could say that we don't necessarily worry about that on a daily basis. This is a real, real concern. So in some countries you have it's getting the food to them, the distribution, which is all we've never had a production problem. We've always had a distribution problem. And even in developed countries, it's become about affordability and how people feed their family with proper nutrition. When you see inflation that doesn't really seem to be slowing, the concern continues to increase. We heard from the Bank of Canada governor this week that they're talking about maybe even getting more aggressive on rate hikes. They did 50 basis points last week. Yep. The next ones don't rule out even more aggressive, more than 50 basis points, which would be something that would get a lot of people's attention. So this inflation thing is super real.
It very much is. And Davis, you've heard me say it on AgriTalk several times. The thing that concerns mm-hmm. me the most is that inflation has gotten so aggressive that in order to get it under control, you're basically going to have to kill the economy for a period of time. I just feel like, and check me on this, guys, I just feel like we're not just set up for a recession. All we're doing right now is determining how long the recession is going to last and how deep it's going to be. Jim?
Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. And this is in part caused by a very weak Federal Reserve who should have seen all this stuff happening a year before, Chip. They got too close to the White House on the transitory inflation, and we're going to suffer the consequences.
Right.
Well,
right.
And let's do hope that we can actually build back better once all the smoke
eventually
clears from this deal. You know?
That is exactly right.
Jim sent me a note earlier this week about the, you know, trying to build the infrastructure and how incredibly costly, you know, so, you know, the dollar doesn't stretch as far as it did, say, a year ago. And you know, trying to get some of those projects done and completed based on the budgets that people have, companies or public sector, it's become a little bit harder and more difficult, never mind getting some of the supplies, but actually being able to afford where some of these prices are at currently.
Right. You know, since you brought up infrastructure, I'm going to go to this. Cabinet officials were out making the rounds around the country talking about the infrastructure plan and the projects that are going to be started in the very near future. And Jim, it's something that we know is long overdue, but at the same time, I mean, literally at the same time, President Biden signed an executive order that is going to make it more difficult to get some of these projects done.
Well, on the permitting and things like that.
Yeah,
they've never been accused of, you know, consistency. But, you know, they've thrown so much money for a good thing, infrastructure, that most of the sane groups in this town are saying each state should have an infrastructure czar to make sure for the implementation in the right process. And I totally agree with that we have to have an accounting for all this money, and hopefully it's going to go to the right projects.
Yeah. Well, one of the ways that they're trying to make sure that is happening is they have a whole of government rural partners network that is being started. It's going to be driven and directed by USDA, but every government agency is going to be participating in this rural partners network to make sure that the money is being, I think to me, it looks like it's going to be an accountability kind of structure. Jim, have I got that right?
Yes, and they know they're going to be called in front of Congress a year or two from now. So I applaud them for that. But we do need a so-called like a return to right away, you know, on the interstate highway system. When that was big, Chip. We need that for the implementation of the infrastructure. Because as you said, these permitting rules, you just got to clear the books and let this stuff happen.
And and don't just talk about, I hate the term shovel ready. Just because it's shovel ready, it doesn't mean it's strategic. It needs to be strategic infrastructure building, not just where the permitting is done and we can do this project and show people that we actually did something. That is the wrong way to approach it.
Yeah. Yep. Certainly is. Certainly is. Real quick, Haney, what was your take on the story that Davis had about the carbon tax?
Oh, it gives me like shivers, nightmares. You know, we're priced at $50 a metric ton and going to go up to 170 by 2030. The price on pollution is something that a lot of governments, including Canada and Europe and others, have been doing. And yeah, fuel's going to go up. I'm sorry to tell you if they do pursue this. I'm just not sure it would ever really get ever through Congress. So it's something that conservatives over here have really fought against.
Right.
But key is that the American Petroleum Institute is urging this. That's,
I know.
That's major.
Well, it tells you they can make money off of it somehow.
Yeah,
they can make money off it somehow. That's right.
Or lose less money.
And here we are in agriculture selling our carbon credits out to other polluters. Now, is that going to turn around and bite us if the carbon tax is initiated? Do then farmers have to pay that carbon tax? Wow. We got a lot of ground to cover yet. We got a lot of ground to cover yet on the free-for-all. We'll be right back.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady's wrapping up another issue of Pro Farmer, but making a little time for us here. Beej, pressure on corn market, pressure on soybean market. We had some big export sales announced this morning.
Absolutely. Corn sales over 1.3 million tons announced to China. That was split between old crop and new crop. We also had corn go out to Mexico. But the market just isn't reacting to that. And I think they already knew about the Chinese corn stuff. We had that Pro Farmer a couple weeks ago. That they would be these sales would be coming. So the market's known about that, and that's allowing the profit-taking pressure. Soybean side of things, there were sales, daily sales to Mexico this morning. But we've had a heck of a run-up in the soybean market this week and pulling back. Meals lower as well. But soy oil is sharply higher on the Indonesia's halt to their exports that are coming at the end of the month here. So quite a bit of spreading action going on in the soy complex today.
Absolutely, there is. Absolutely. Planting delay worries are going to be a big topic of conversation next week in the grain markets, I'm sure. Let's go over to livestock. Hogs catching a bid here at the end of the week.
Yeah, it's been a struggle to find buyers here recently, but they are sharply higher here in most of the contracts to close out the week. And then the cattle market, just the opposite, had a big, strong gains the past 2 days and pulling back from that. Somewhat surprisingly, feeder cattle aren't finding a whole lot of support from that sharp weakness in the corn market. So that's something to watch into the close, I guess, today.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right, Brian, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Dare you. I dare you. Double dog dare. Dare.
You can also tweet at us, hashtag yeah. AgriTalk. Send us an email, host@agritalk.com. We got the free-for-all going. Davis Michelson, Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney. Jim Wiesmeyer filed a report on ProFarmer.com yesterday. And the report title is Report on Cash Cattle Mandate, colon, quote, attempting to solve a problem that does not exist. Jim, this is another blow to the the Grassley Fisher bill.
Yeah, it could well be. And although it's going to get an airing out, which it should at two hearings next week. But when you look at this working group report, look at the economists, Chip, in that list.
Oh, I know.
All from land grant universities. And there's some pretty smart people on that list.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We read the whole list off on yesterday's show when Davis and I were talking about it. There's a couple that aren't on the list that I'm a little surprised they aren't. I wonder, I'm thinking of Tonser at K-State in particular. I'm wondering if he's got a different take than the conclusions. I'm going to be checking with him on that.
Yeah.
But the some of the comments that are made in here, there needs to be some on the AMA library, okay, the alternative marketing agreements or arrangements, says there needs to be some mechanism for weeding out contracts that are not used on a regular basis or perhaps putting them in some type of an archive. That is a problem right now with the hog AMA or contract library. There's some outdated information in there. But the real damaging line here is there is no research evidence of any significant or persistent Fed cattle price discovery problem at this time. This legislation is attempting to solve a problem that does not exist. As such, this legislation has zero benefits for Fed cattle markets.
It's a brutal assessment, and we're going to have the second punch come out any day now, Chip, from Texas A&M University, who's going to update their previous report because they revised the language. You know, Senator Grassley, Fisher, and the eight other bipartisan members. And I'll tell you, I spoke at Texas Cattlemen's Virginia Cattlemen's last week, yep. And there was some support there for this cash cattle pricing
sure.
bill, but to what degree? And people admitted they need to see a final language on this one.
Right.
But some of these same researchers have been, this isn't a shock, they've been telling,
no.
you know, the words, but because they've been telling Grassley's office this for a long time,
yeah.
that this is a pointless exercise. And he's persisted. And so if you believe firmly in your mind that the packer is, you know, giving it to you and this is going to show them that this doesn't derail your political will.
Right.
As an individual or a politician. Go ahead.
Yeah. And Jim Grassley says that the hearing next week on his bill is just a formality.
Yes, let's get it over with. That's pure Grassley. And
yeah.
he says he has the votes, and he probably does, to at least get it out of the committee. I think he also said in remarks yesterday that if it was a Republican chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, he wouldn't even get a vote in the committee. That was interesting.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. But you have the two major groups, NCBA and Farm Bureau, at least now coming out against this. That will be very curious if they issue updated statements about the revised bill next week. So
right.
I would look forward to that as well.
There's one other entry into the conclusions from the study that I've got to mention. It says it imposes many millions of dollars of additional costs, added risk, and lost value. The exact cost will depend on details of implementation, but the cost is minimally hundreds of millions of dollars, resulting in lower fed cattle prices and higher consumer beef prices. The exact opposite of what is the goal of this legislation.
Yeah, I get a lot of emails, and one email I got from a farmer said, why can't boxed beef become a publicly traded commodity? Would that not solve some of the price discrepancy?
Could so, hedge it.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm asking around on that one to some of these analysts.
It's a very, you know, there's a reason that we don't trade pork bellies anymore.
Yeah.
But Chip, the reason that you just
manipulate.
Yes. And Chip, that last point I think is a good one to make, because it tells you how people aren't going to knock off of this, no matter what expert opinion is provided that from an analytical standpoint, because those are the same things that people have been saying about mandatory country of origin labeling for a long time.
Absolutely.
And people are just as passionate about it. So.
Right. Right. Okay. As long as we just went down the belief versus theory and practicality, I'm going to go beliefs versus science and the misunderstanding of E15 and its potential to cause smog in the summer months. I mean, that is a great example that once someone gets something in their head, science doesn't matter, Sean. Science doesn't matter in this one because it's in their head.
Yep. This is we're like this on so many issues now, Chip, where this is where we lack curiosity to sort of explore issues. We jump from A to Z and we just roll with it. And a lot of times if you ask a follow-up, well, what do you mean? Or why do you believe that? Or what about this? Well, I don't know about that, but here's what's really happening.
Right.
And it just shows the shallow understanding that some people have on some of this. And there's a multitude of topics. Like this is, we've named a couple, but there's lots.
Well, just do a Google search on E15 causing smog. And they're current stories that it does. So again, this is an educational task that I think the ethanol lobby has not acted adequately on myself.
And it's super selective too. If we go back to, it sort of started with the climate debate, climate change and man-made human, caused climate change. And then on to the vaccines, whatever side you may fall on the vaccines, it was trust the science. What's the matter with you people? Why would you not trust the science? What's wrong with you? Well, now here we have science on something that can be really, really beneficial to the climate, and it's not trusted. That's what I don't understand. It's very inconsistent.
And if you don't get out in front of it, and if you don't get out in front of it, Davis, you will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe, depending on how big the issue is, millions of dollars, trying to change people's opinion through communication, through marketing. And you could have done a lot of that heavy lifting at the front end and saved yourself a lot of time and money.
Well, and maybe the science guy was out of the barn on this one, too.
It's just like Proposition 12 in California, when the poultry and the egg people bow-wowed and let it go through, that created a more even aggressive Prop 12, but the hog producers and Farm Bureau fought it now. So there are similarities here. But bottom line, EPA needs to update their science relative to E15 and smog.
Yep.
That's part of the problem as well. So they're really still back to what, Chip? 1990?
Yeah, 1990.
They haven't. So I think that would go a pretty big way.
And the thing is, it's not that the potential smog from E15, it's not that the research or anything like that is that much different than what it was back in 1990. It's how there is a portion of the Clean Air Act, the wording of it. It singles out E10 and makes it sound like everything above that is even worse, when everything above that is even better.
Yeah. Well, maybe
it's just terrible.
Maybe E15 needs its own Greta Thunberg. How dare you fill your tank with premium gasoline?
Ethanol. Ethanol is the future for the children. That's what we need.
Beautiful.
I thought that was Chip. Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Hey, you know, when we had Andy Randolph on, Dr. Andy Randolph from Earnhardt Childress Racing, ECR Racing Engines. It's like I said, nobody understands how fuels function better than Andy does. And when we got, you know, I asked him what is the truth, and he just very simply stated that E15 has lower pollutants than does E10, than does regular gasoline. And E10 has fewer pollutants than gasoline with no ethanol in it. And it all comes down to the vapor pressures, and you've got lower vapor pressures in E15, in E20, in E30, to the point that if you get too high, when it gets too cold, you can't even get enough vapor pressure to get the thing started. It creates some other issues. So it's very fascinating to see how this whole story has gone forward. But, you know, Andy, at the end of that conversation, guys, said, hey, thank you for being interested in the facts. And that, I think, number one, it was one of the greatest compliments that anybody has ever paid me, because I absolutely am interested in the facts. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about E15 or the cattle market or Indonesia's decision to ban exports of palm oil. I want the facts, and I think we need more of that in this country, not less.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk in the free-for-all. We've got Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture Sean Haney, and AgriTalk's Davis Michelson, who is also the editor of Landowner for Pro Farmer. Jim, I just got to ask, how do you really feel about squirrels?
Well, they cost me about $1,600 because they apparently love soy oil-based coverings over wires. So, and yes, I don't park my SUV in my garage because it's a man cave, okay? But I'm paying the price.
So are we opening the food versus tires debate now? Food versus fuel was hard enough. Now we got food versus tires?
Well, I told Hyundai they could make another profit by just spraying underneath the car to avoid this stuff. That's a profit center.
There you go.
What kind of hippie are you driving, Jim, with soybean tires on it? What do you got going over there?
There's a lot of soy oil in underneath the car, let me tell you, which is a good thing to me, but not for squirrels.
Gotcha. Hey, veg oils, as long as we're there. What's the news on canola and renewable diesel? Haney.
That was a fantastic segue.
You're welcome.
So the EPA has put out their proposed rule on basically for canola to be included as a feedstock for advanced biofuels. This really fits into this renewable diesel discussion. Now, the final rule has, there's a comment period of my understanding. Jim can correct me if I'm wrong there, but this is the proposed rule or proposed ruling. This is, I think, a good news story. The U.S. Canola Association has also been working on this in combination with the Canola Council of Canada. We're kind of tapped out for canola acres in Canada, about 20 to 22 million because of issues like blackleg and clubroot. Okay, so there's an opportunity for an acreage expansion of canola in the U.S. In the areas that would see a fit there. Whether it's winter varieties or spring varieties, depending on where you are. But I think this is going to be a big opportunity for maybe some change in rotation as this takes off.
See, you went right back to the soybean tires with the change in rotation. Wow.
Well played.
We just can't get away from Jim's squirrels all of a sudden.
And soybean oil coverings underneath your car, the wires, yes. They enclose the wiring.
That's I wonder if right. I could get a vegan steering wheel for my Jeep. Jim, I feel like you're moving us forward here.
Get inside my car.
The scary thing is that would actually appeal to some people in the marketing.
You are correct, sir. You are correct. That area that is maybe more prone in the U.S. to produce some of the canola right now is dry, dry, dry. You look at the what's happening in Montana. It's an alternative grains issue. It's a spring wheat issue. It's a cattle issue. It's they've caught some moisture, but they need a ton more. You need a lot more up there in the prairies too, don't you?
Yeah, especially where I am. I'm just north of Great Falls, Montana, and I saw a precipitation map the other day. And, you know, the Western Canadian dryness has – we're in better shape than we were a year ago. Manitoba, just north of North Dakota, has got a ton of snow here as of late. So there are areas that have really improved, but I'm in the heart of where it is so epically dry. It's just hard. You know, people are putting wheat in the ground, and it's just a dust bowl. It's pretty scary stuff, especially when it comes to some of that pasture land. People are going to look at their grass line and being like, oh, my goodness.
Yep. NBC yesterday did a story about climate change in prep for today, Earth Day, and said that climate change has actually reduced the size of the buffalo, the individual buffalo on Ted Turner's ranch up in Montana. Well, when you go through droughts, they don't have the grass to eat. So, yeah, they're smaller. It's not like this is a – and they said that it was – that we are witnessing evolutionary change. You give them belly deep grass again, and I bet they get their size back pretty darn quick, guys. I don't know.
Maybe I should go to Montana and it'll lose weight is what you
Well, you probably would if you went out and grazed with the buffs. I'm thinking you probably would lose some weight, Jim.
I would.
I'll go with you.
Just, Jim, stay out of the Golden Corral. That won't help.
Yeah. That's right. Davis, one of the stories yesterday that I know fascinated you was the FBI warning.
Yes, cyber attacks. I'll say it again. Hey, co-ops, elevators, other ag-related organizations, the FBI did release a statement on Wednesday, I believe it was, saying, hey, look out for cyber attacks there. So watch out for weird emails you don't recognize. If you don't honestly know how, we've all had to be trained. Our company went through a whole thing on how to spot these sorts of things. Educate yourself on how to look out for this stuff. This is a big deal and could be extremely expensive for your organization.
Update your cybersecurity and everything. Make sure that you've got the latest and the greatest for your operation. One last one that I want to get to. Union Pacific Railroad cut the availability to CF Industries and others. CF made a big stink about it with a press release and everything, and then we've been trying to get somebody on to talk about it. But on Monday morning, we're going to have Darren Kopic from the Ag Retailers Association on Monday morning to talk about it. But this is a big deal when we're trying to get as much fertilizer in position as we can and increase availability. Haney, what's going on?
Yeah, my understanding is it has to do with private cars. They've put less of a priority on private cars that Union Pacific would be pulling. And fertilizer is one of those commodities that has been greatly, greatly impacted by it, as if fertilizer needed any more challenges. Like, right. Seriously, the fertilizer's had its time in the sun here. It needs to go take a back seat. It's pretty concerning, and I've been definitely getting emails from our audience about this issue. It's all has to do with these private cars.
Wow. Okay.
This is one where USDA Secretary Vilsack probably could help out.
Yeah, get out in front and talk about the issue and how important it is to increase that availability. All right, you guys. Man, great job today. Really appreciate the efforts. Haney, have a good weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, everybody have yourselves a great weekend. Cheers.
All right, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture. Jim, let's get the newsletter done, buddy.
And pick up my car.
And pick up your car. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer. Davis, we'll talk to you this afternoon. I'm looking forward to
Can't
it,
wait.
Along with
Can't
Jim
wait.
McCormick from AgMarket.net right here on AgriTalk.
That's right.